And now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2. It is indeed a familiar story, but one that never grows old, as we read the news of the birth and the circumstances that surrounded the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that though you have read it many times, you will open your Bible to Matthew chapter 2 and read with us these wonderful verses beginning at verse 1. After we pause for a moment of prayer. And now, Heavenly Father, as our hearts are stilled before Thee, in the quietness of these moments, may we find the answer as the wise men did of the whereabouts of Christ. And may we fall down before Him to worship. And may we, Heavenly Father, open our treasures to Him. And may we proclaim His coming to the ends of the earth. And we ask again if there should be those who have never trusted Him, who have never owned Him as their Savior, may they come today and trust Him. For those who need a church home and a place to end 1967 in service for Christ, a place to begin a new year of opportunity, may they come today and unite with a fellowship of Worth Baptist Church. And again, we ask that our minds might have erased from them those things that are of less importance than the true and real meaning of Christmas. In the name of our Savior, we ask these things and for His sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped H-I-M, him. Amen. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. The birth of Jesus is the most significant and dramatic event recorded in the annals of human history. I rejoice when I think that God used the powers and the provisions and the personalities of two worlds, the heavenly world or the world above, and the earthly world, the world below, to bring about what had so long been waited for, the coming of the Messiah. These two worlds, I might add, were at odds one with another. And today, almost 2,000 years after, the world at large is at odds with God. But I'm glad the star that the wise men saw in the east, the star of Jacob, still shines brightly over a dark world in 1967. It's the star of hope. It's the star of light and the star of life and the star of immortality that shall never be burned out. Amen. Jesus has come, let all the world be told this morning. You remember when the shepherds heard about Jesus? They tarried about the fireside all night. They waited until next week. No, they said one to another, let us go now, even to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And then the gospel writer Luke tells us that once they had seen him, they went about and proclaimed the good news of all of the things that God had made known unto them. And I see in that a parallel today that is opposite. Many people who have heard the name of Jesus have never come to see him. Oh, my beloved, outside the ark of safety this morning, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, you are destined for an eternal hell. You have heard about the Savior. You cannot stand before the God of the universe on that great day of judgment and say, I never heard about him. Because you're hearing about him now. Jesus Christ is come to save that which is lost. Tell it again. Tell it again. Salvation story. Repeat o'er and o'er. Till none shall say of the children of men, no one has ever told me before. I'm telling you, mister. Mother and daddy, I'm telling you. Young man, I'm warning you that if you die in your sin, where Jesus is, there you cannot go. You cannot leave Worth Baptist Church on this Christmas Eve and go out into a world of forgetfulness and say that there was not a preacher that warned you that if you are without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you die without him, you are eternally, hopelessly, helplessly lost. That's my message to you without the Savior this morning. Oh, but you would say, Pastor, maybe you don't understand. I'm of another faith. Well and good. But do you have the faith of the Son of God? Oh, but you don't understand. I was brought up in a different way. But have you been brought up to Jesus? You may have learned the catechisms. You may have gone through all of the memory courses. You may have gone through the baptismal waters and by the communion table. But if you haven't been to Calvary, you're lost without the Son of God. He came through a cradle to go to a cross that he might reign upon a throne. One of the outstanding events that was connected with the birth of Jesus was the story that I read you of the coming of wise men. And let me add this, that wise men all over the world are still coming to Jesus. They came and they had a question. And their question is this: where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Now the answer to that question opens up for us the entire spectrum of divine revelation. I want you to think with me for a few moments from this subject. Where is Jesus? There are three areas that I want you to consider. First, in eternity past, where is Jesus? In this present age, where is Jesus? And in the age of the future, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in eternity past? Where was Jesus before the wise men saw his star shining in the east? I think John can answer that question for us in his first chapter, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In the beginning. Reminds me of Isaiah's prophecy: unto us a child is born, a son is given. Now, as you know, the word for W-O-R-D, word in John 1, 1, 2, and 14, is in the Greek logos, L-O-G-O-S. You know what that means? The very essence and expression of. Those who study the languages tell us that Greek is the most nearly perfect language ever devised by man. Isn't it significant that the New Testament was given to us in that language? In the beginning was the essence of God. Where? With God. When? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Long before the wise men saw his star in the east, the eternal Word was with the Father. With him when he created the heavens and the earth. With him when the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. With him when he said, let there be light, and there was light. The eternal Word was with the Father when he said, let there be a firmament to divide the waters above from the waters beneath. He was with him when he said, let the waters be gathered together and let the dry land appear. He was with him when he said, let the earth and the waters bring forth after their kind. The eternal Word, the Lord Jesus, was with the Father when he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. John expressed it this way, still in his first chapter: all things were made by him, and not anything was made without him. Not anything was made that was made. This baby Jesus, to whom the wise men came, and to whom the shepherds came, and to whom we come today, was with the Father in the beginning. Paul puts it this way in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It is easy then to see from the testimony of John, the beloved apostle, and from Paul, that battle-scarred apostle, that Jesus Christ was in the beginning with the Father. It is also easy to see from his own testimony that he was with God? To the Pharisees, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." The same I am that appeared to Abraham on the plains of Mamre. The same I am that spoke to Moses out of the bush that burned and was not consumed. Said later to his own, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." Jesus Christ then was with the Father, the eternal Word, with God in the beginning. Where was Jesus before the wise men saw his star? He was the eternal Word with the Father. Where was Jesus after the wise men saw his star? Where was Jesus after they opened their treasures to him? Where is Jesus for the present age? Again, John answers this question for us in verse 14 of his first chapter. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Isaiah lends himself to us over 700 years before Christ came and said in his 7th chapter, verse 14, "For the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. The same Word in eternity past that was God with God in the beginning, John says, became flesh and tabernacled among us. "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." He is with us today. Oh, I know that he's exalted at the right hand of the Father, but in the person of the Holy Spirit, he is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. With us to reveal unto us the Father. With us to redeem us from our sins. With us to reinforce us in the hour of our great peril. Yonder on the Sea of Galilee, he was with the disciples and spoke a calm and a peace to a troubled sea. Yonder in the city of Corinth in Acts chapter 18, the Apostle Paul was somewhat apprehensive about going into the city of Corinth. He was somewhat concerned of his life, and that night the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Be not afraid, for I have much people in this city, and no man shall lay hand upon thee to hurt thee." Oh, my beloved this morning is with me, and I am with him. He is with us in the hour of persecution. We take for granted this morning that we have the privilege of worship. And many people, and some of them are members of this church and other churches all over the world, the Christian world I'm speaking about now, are using the one time of the year that we commemorate his birth to do something else. And you know, one of these days, and I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but you know, one of these days people are going to wake up. And after their freedoms of worship are gone, they're going to want the church and the pastor and God's people, but they're not going to find them. You may not live to see it, but as sure as this is God's word, it's coming to pass. There's coming a famine of the hearing of the word of God. And people can abuse the privilege today, but they're going to beg for it tomorrow. Where is Jesus He's with us this morning. I say again, to reveal the Father, to redeem the soul, to reinforce us in the hour of our great peril. Beloved, I beseech you, look for him. See him in the smile on that baby's face. See him in the blossom of that rose. See him in the heart of a friend. See him in the embrace of a loved one. I say again, I know he's at the right hand of the Father, yet in the person of the Holy Spirit, he's as close to you as the air you breathe. Where is Jesus? He's wherever you need him. That's where he is in this present age. It was wise men who came to seek Jesus. Where is Jesus for the future? Where do wise men now look for Jesus? I hasten to tell you that wise men do not look for Jesus in a stable or in a manger. Wise men do not look for Jesus in the Garden of Sorrow, Gethsemane. Wise men do not look for Jesus in Pilate's judgment hall. Wise men do not look for Jesus writhing in anguish upon a Calvary's cross. Wise men do not look for Jesus in a new-made tomb. Wise men look for Jesus coming in clouds of the sky. Because the angel said to those anxious disciples as they stood by, "Why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken away from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go away." Wise men are looking toward the sky when Jesus shall come with healing in his wings to catch away his waiting bride. "Unto them that look for him," said Paul, "shall he appear the second time without a cross, without a judgment hall, without a Garden of Gethsemane, without a cruel stable to be born in. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without a sin offering. No more crowns of thorns, but a royal diadem." Amen. "No more rejection, but an embracing by all of the world." Wise men today are looking for Jesus to come and take his children out of this sin-cursed world. Where is Jesus? Is he in your heart this morning? If he is not, I must say he's standing just outside. He's knocking. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in." Where is Jesus? Is he in your heart? At the first Christmas, they didn't have any room for him. And we, in all of our eloquence, in all of our comforts, in all of our modern civilization, in all of our enlightenment, we look back yonder at Bethlehem and we say, shame on those folks to turn an expectant mother away. Shame on those people that there was no room for the Son of God in their place of warmth and comfort. Many people today are doing the same thing. They're putting Jesus out in the cold. Where is Jesus? In your heart? In your home? In your life? If you refuse him this morning, you're as guilty as the citizens of Bethlehem. You're more guilty. You know more about it. Where little is known, little is required. Where is Jesus? You will either accept him as your Savior in this life, or you'll meet him as your judge in the world to come. Where is Jesus? Only you can answer that question while we pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee, we ask again this morning that only the Christ of Bethlehem's manger and the Christ of Calvary's cross, and the Christ of an empty tomb, and the Christ of an occupied throne would be in our hearts and in our minds at these moments. And should there be those today who have not trusted Him, may they come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. For those, Heavenly Father, who are seeking guidance, may they find it at an altar of prayer that stretches from here to eternity. For those, Heavenly Father, who need a church home on this Christmas Eve Sunday, may they come today and unite with Worth Baptist Church to be counted among God's people who are proclaiming the gospel to the ends of the earth. And may every man and every woman and every boy and every girl in this house today answer for himself and for herself the question of the wise men. Where is Jesus? In his name we pray, and for his sake.